Does anybody need a Bible? Raise your hand and they'll pass you one. We're continuing today the second of a two-part series on worship that we started a couple of weeks ago. And I want to begin this morning by all of us saying the word worship. But before we do, I want you to just meld into your heart and mind this pathos for this word. If you haven't, let's say it together. Worship. Let's say it again. Worship. Worship. How do you come for worship? We talked about last time out of John. That's the fourth chapter. We talked about worship, about this woman who came empty. She was thirsty to the well. She gets in this little communicative experience of talking with Jesus about water, about life, about the experience of what life is. And then Jesus moves right in and comes real close to her by talking about her husband's. It catches her off guard, and quickly she moves into a new territory. She moves into worship. I kind of had a feeling that Jesus was leading her right down that path to that point. And they go through this. I'd love to know what the time frame that they spent together. There is more said than what is in the Gospel of John. But we discovered last time that God is looking for what? For those of you here, half of you are on vacation. True worship. True worshipers. And we discovered what true worshipers was by going to Philippians 3:3, and we discovered that true worshipers have a circumcised heart. What in the world is a circumcised heart? A circumcised heart. A heart that is totally, completely dependent on Jesus Christ. And it talks about there in that text about life where apparently somewhere along the line we got this idea that there was something we could do about the worship. But it has nothing to do with us. We also talked about another thing, that if you haven't been with Christ during the week, you probably don't have an experience to bring to Him Sabbath morning. You can't just come and expect God to do something miraculous when you aren't in tune with Him through the week. It doesn't happen very often. Sometimes there's a short, quick epiphany, but our minds and our hearts just are not ready to give glory to this amazing God that we have worship, we talk to, we share. I want to go to the text in John chapter 4. Jesus has this encounter, and the disciples come back, and I want to look today at the aspect of what actually worship will do for you. There is something special that when you come and you're a true worshiper of Christ, something magical, in a sense, takes place that happens. Let's begin with verse 25. The woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. Are you aware of what's happening in our world today? There is a huge movement to look to man, which takes Jesus totally out of the picture. Jesus wants to be real clear that worship and life is all about what happens in this relationship between He and us. God and the church. He says, I am that Messiah. But there is a movement to take it and put it completely on man. You've heard some of the statements. God is living within you. You can be God yourself. As it makes its slow ascent into our lives, we have been caught up in this as a world that eventually it takes God totally out of the picture. Jesus wants to be so clear here with this woman, and he says, I am the Messiah. There is no one else. It all settles down, boils down, and is in this picture of what I'm trying to share with you, because man can't give you living water. Man can't give you bread of life. Man can't give you all of the things that are truly essential for us on a spiritual level. And yet, every day of the week, we are trying to find and direct our course in trying to figure out how to solve the problems of our life. And it doesn't work. I am the Messiah. Then Jesus told, verse 27, then the disciples came back. They were shocked to find him talking to a woman. But none of them had the nerve to ask, what do you want with her? Or why are you talking with her? The woman left her water jug beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone. There are several things that happen when in the scope of this woman. Her life has no future at all. There is no perspective. There is no goals. There's no design. She gets up. She cooks breakfast. She waits till 1 o'clock to go to the well. She gets water. She goes back home. She kind of cowers as she walks through the gate into the village. Meaningless life. Get up and you do the same thing day after day after day. How many people in this world you get up and do the same thing day after day after day? And we live like we have flatlined. The monitors have gone flat. There's no power, there's no existence, there's no energy, there's no life, there's nothing except another day of the same thing. And then Jesus walks by and messes her whole life up. And he begins to talk to her, which was a no-no. But he changes her life. The first thing he does, though, is he wants to get real clear with her about her life. See, when we come to church, we are to come empty but filled with Him. Most of the time we don't come empty. We come filled with all of the stuff from our life. All of the worries and all of the problems. And all of the little incidentals that we should not have done because of sin and did. And we're just filled with this life of confusion. Jesus wants to straighten that out. He wants to change that course. He wants you to come to church and worship Him because you are so filled with amazing love for the grace that He has given to us. And yet we come with all kinds of stuff and junk that fills our... How can you worship with that kind of life? How can a car run on gasoline when half of the tank is filled with sand? We come filled only half full. Can you come to church and think about the thing that you did this last week that you shouldn't have done? And you have so much guilt, you haven't even asked for forgiveness for it yet, and worship with a full heart? Have you come to church that way? I have. Just, it's another day. It's another experience. It's a, oh, let's get the kids up and let's do it. And then on the way, they're screaming and crying, and it's just this wonderful experience of spiritual euphoria. And we walk into the church and there we are. But sin controls, rules, governs our life. And God is saying, Christ is saying here in this text that you have to get rid, you have to confront, you have to deal with that which is in your life that's not supposed to be there. Otherwise, you just go home and you do little things on the Sabbath day or whatever it is, and it's just another day. It's not special. She's embarrassed when Jesus asks her the question. Or tells her, actually. You got five husbands and you're living with one. She doesn't even want to think about that experience. So she goes to worship. God wants us to realize that in our experience with Him, that we need to begin to really look at our life on a much deeper level than we normally do. What is worship to you? Worship. In reality, worthy-ship. He is worthy of getting involved in your life. Something happened there. Something happened at that well. Whatever length of time it took, something happened. She talks about the Messiah. He's coming. They go through this little intercourse of communicating about this whole experience of worship and God. And she knows, she says, well, He's coming. We're looking for Him. When He arrives, He will change us, what we know, what we think. And in this communication of wanting to give her living water, He says, I will give you something that you have never tasted of before. He says, I'll give you living water. Confronts her of the sin. And He says, here I am. Wow. What is worship? One of my favorite texts for that is in Revelation 14, the three angels' message. One thing you have to do when you buy into this thing of God is you can't buy in part way. You can't get into it a little bit at a time and expect something amazing. You have to invest your whole being into this process. And this text kind of communicates that. It says, "Fear God," He shouted. "Give glory to Him, for the time will come." Revelation 14. The time will come. Oh, I have one hand shaking. No. You didn't catch me. The time has come. It's here now. It's not tomorrow, it's here today. You can have it today. It is a gift for you. The time has come when he will sit and judge. So then, as he is sitting there, what takes place? Worship. Worship day and night. Worship, giving him the glory, giving him. But you can't worship when you're only filled halfway. We can't give him half worship. We can't give him partial service. We can't give him partial obedience. We can't give him part life. It's got to be all or none. Worship him, and then he shares this. Who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and the springs of water. He's identifying himself and the power that he has. He's letting us know that who he is, because whatever Lucifer on the other side of this river is doing is giving us a false idea, and we have bought into the lie. I wonder what it must have been like for Lucifer to sit in heaven before he was cast out in the chair when worship was going on. What do you think he was saying? Give it some thought. What do you think he was saying? Boy, I wish I wasn't here today. I don't know what was going through your mind now. But he didn't want to be sitting in there. Because what they were doing in there is giving glory and honor to a specific human being of which he was in conflict with. And if you're in conflict in your life, you can't worship the way you should. It doesn't happen. God wants it all. Christ draws this woman to himself because he is the Savior of this world. He brings to her peace. He brings to her courage. He brings to her self-respect again. And she is changed. It reminds me of the story of two men in Alaska. Their car wouldn't start, and they were snowed in, and it was many miles to the nearest place for a motel in the community. And there was no food. It was just a day trip. They were hoping to get back sooner. And there they are in this cabin, and it is snowing, and it is snowing real hard. And it is up to the windows. And here they are caught at this cabin, and they have to stay overnight. Problem is, it was more than just a night. It turned into several days. Well, the only two things they had is this one guy had a can of tobacco. The other guy has a Bible. And this guy is so nervous, and he's on edge, and he's just wanting that Bible so he can get some paper out of that Bible to roll up his cigarette. And he keeps asking, "Can I have some paper from your Bible?" And he says, "No, you can't." And the word was precious to this guy, and he couldn't imagine this guy rolling up his tobacco in this paper of God's word. And the guy kept hounding him and hounding him and hounding him. And finally the guy said, "Okay, I'll give you a piece of paper if you read every word on that paper." And so he pulls out the first page of Matthew, rolls it up and reads it, and then rolls it up and smokes it. Then he goes to the second. And through the course of these several days, he gets through the Gospels. But something happened. While he was reading this Bible, while he was reading these words, it began to change his life. He went to church when he was a kid, but that didn't mean anything. But all of a sudden, through this moment, this situation, God, through the Holy Spirit, came to this man and began to speak to his heart. Before he finished the can, he gave his heart to Jesus Christ. God puts us in ironic situations that we wonder why we get there. What's going on? This woman should have never been there with Jesus. A situation that should have never happened, but it did. And God spoke to her. Jesus spoke to her, living water, just as this man in this cabin took in the bread of life. It'll change you. If it doesn't, you better question your experience and your worship experience. Now, the interesting thing about this story is there was a dramatic change in this lady's life. Through the course of whatever period they talked together, there was an instant change. I don't know what the situation was with this woman, but she had five husbands, and I don't know if one of them was a neighbor's or what, or maybe one, two houses down or whatever, but she had five husbands, and now she's living with one. And everybody in this little village knows what's going on. Everybody. They know who she is. That's why she's out there at 1 o'clock in the afternoon drawing water, because she can't go in the morning, the cool of morning, when everybody else does, because she knows the look she's going to get. But when she goes back, the moments, those precious moments with Christ, so changed her life. And all of a sudden, she saw a picture she had never seen before, and it changes her. And it changes her because she goes back, and the peace on her face, the difference in her countenance, the excitement in her voice, the joy that was bubbling over, all of a sudden transformed these people in this community. And they want to go out because of what she said and see this man. Now, how many of us who know somebody who is not living on the right side of the track, if you will, in the spiritual sense, can go in and convince somebody about some man out by a well? It doesn't happen. There was a transforming power in this woman that took place. It energized her. She had value. She didn't care what people think. It's funny, it's interesting to me how everybody that Jesus comes in contact with don't care about what anybody else thinks. They've come in contact with Jesus Christ every time, every time, every time. And this lady didn't care what people thought, and she went in because Christ changed her life. But the interesting thing, when you worship with Jesus, He inspires you, He changes you, He changes the way you think. And you can't help it. And I've shared this many times and people have doubted, but I'm going to tell you again, if you haven't heard it, enjoy it for the first time. When you have been transformed by Jesus Christ, it is impossible to not go tell somebody else. It's impossible. It is impossible. You have to tell somebody about your experience. That's what Jesus is in the business of doing, is transforming people's lives. But what is so interesting to me is in this relationship that they're having, and I believe that she was worshiping because God was changing her, worship produces in us this desire to be a witness. Because you got to tell somebody. And in just a few moments of a day, this lady brings a whole village out. And you know what? It's great of what they said. We're going to find out for ourselves. And they did. Jesus is transforming. Jesus changes. Jesus inspires. Jesus invigorates. And my favorite part of the story is when the disciples come back. And they say, have something to eat, Master. And they don't have a clue. They're so concerned about him meeting with a woman at the well at 1 o'clock in the afternoon and him getting some nourishment that they don't understand what happened. They don't understand what happened. And he says, I have food you don't know of. Have you ever experienced food that is not physical food? It is such an energizing experience. We're coming into this point in time, starting this week, Wednesday night. God wants you to have an experience beyond your wildest dreams. We have been given the promise that we can do amazing things in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit infusing in us this amazing experience that will change the world. I thank Aileen for giving us the little push we needed to do this. But I think there is nothing greater in this experience than 18 million people asking for the amazing power of the Holy Spirit to fall on this church. We're told that the Holy Spirit is going to fall, and it's going to fall on some and not on others. Pray that the Spirit leads you to get involved in this experience. It's a necessity. It is life itself. This is a year that we can transform people who live in our community, people who live in our town, our state, this world. We need to get global, folks. We need to get community. We need to have an experience with Jesus at the well. Amen. He offers today living water. If you're in a situation where you're struggling emotionally, spiritually, it's time to get with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's time to get to the well today. 1 o'clock. Meet him at the well. I don't know where it is in your life. I don't know if it's in your bedroom, in your living room, in your family room, out on the mountains, at a park, in your backyard where there's flowers, in your front yard where there's flowers. I don't know. But you need to get serious about this. Folks, we don't have much longer on this earth. And the rocks are starting to cry out. And shame on us for letting that happen. It's time to get excited about Christ. Let him change you. Let him confront you with sin, your sin. Help him by saying, I'm coming. Let him eradicate it. Cut it out. Sever it. Begin to become a holy people. That's what we need to do. But it doesn't happen unless the Holy Spirit does it. We can do nothing of ourselves. We can't even breathe. It's all about God, who created us to live an abundant life. I want you to get involved. If you haven't put your name down, or you want to find a place to pray for 10 days, if you go to Acts, that's how long it was when they met in that upper room, 10 days. It ends on 777. What a perfect number to see a day when the Holy Spirit fills living water. Las Vegas, Henderson, Boulder City, Pahrump, California, Nevada, Arizona. Folks, we got to get serious. And all it takes today, right now, is for you to make a decision to let that happen in your life. Amen. If what you're here today for is real to you, then it's time to get your walking shoes on and get involved. Let us pray. Father, we're desperate. We're desperate to have such a deep, intimate relationship with you, that we come full circle and we make a change, and we say we're willing to make the changes in our life because we know that you love us that much. Sometimes it's hard for us to make that decision, but in our place, in our time, help us to make that decision, to get involved, to make an investment, to let the investment grow. Lord, thank you. May the global experience of us praying with these people just so draw the Holy Spirit into this church that it changes us, and that the world will see, and that we can go out and tell our story. That's all we want to do, Father, is tell our story about how you changed our life. Thank you for that, Christ. Father, Holy Spirit, for getting involved with our human experience. It is in Christ's name we pray, and God's people said, amen. God bless. Let him speak to your heart this week. Get involved with the Godhead.